7:04, busy show for you today. A tale of two Chris's. Chris Landry will join us at 7:30. Chris Granger, president of the Kings, at 8:30. We'll talk football and Kings Fan Fest, respectively. I have a friend, by the way, Katie. I just want you to know, because I always give you crap about your dogs. I have a friend. You got to turn your mic on. I have a friend who he's going out of town next week. He asked me to feed his dogs over the weekend because his neighbor's out of town too this weekend. So right. I'm doing it this weekend, then the neighbor does it the next weekend. But whenever what people understand, whenever people ask me to feed their dogs, I just go over there and pour a giant bowl, and then
I've seen your dogs.
Not for like a week. I'll go a couple times. But if like for this weekend, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to go over there tonight. I'm going to pour like half the bag in the bowl.
Don't do that.
And then see you later. Dogs. Because here's the thing. When the neighbors come to feed the dogs on Monday, what's the dog going to do? Be like, oh, excuse me, Dave didn't feed us since Friday. They're fine. They're dogs.
You're a horrible person.
What are you talking? They're dogs.
You're a horrible person.
They're
going to
get a big, giant feast tonight. Actually a great person.
No.
Instead of the monotony of being fed every day
Whoever your friend is, I suggest that.
You're getting a ton of food tonight.
He or she asks somebody else.
The dog buffet tonight. Here's what you missed in the first hour if you weren't listening. All that and more, the next 2 hours available at KHDK.com later today. Mick Mixon, voice of the Panthers, he was feeling good about the Niners' chances this weekend.
He made me hungry.
He and I went.
He mentioned honey baked ham.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
I missed that part. I love honey baked ham. Let me tell you something. He and I had a contest to see who could out-compliment the other team. And I'm not going to lie, he probably won. He's very good at it. All right, let's make our pick four picks.
All righty.
Get ready. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. He's been holding so long. I'll get to him before us. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. You ready to get in and lock it in for pick four?
4-0.
Yeah. All right. Niners and Carolina.
Definitely got to go with Carolina. Biggest. If I had to put my house on a game, this would be it.
I completely agree with you. I just bought the freaking house, too. I'd still put it on this game. Raiders-Falcons.
It's going to be a shootout. Oakland, though.
Oakland.
It's going to be wild in Oakland this year.
Wow, so far, Bruce and I, we might be 2-0 together. All right, big rivalry game. This game I'm very excited about. Bengals and Steelers. First time they've played each other since Vontaze Burfict and Pac-Man Jones absolutely lost their minds. Bengals are in Pittsburgh, though. Who you got?
Oh, man, diehard Steeler fan, no Vontaze Burfict. But going Pittsburgh, man. Antonio Brown, MVP.
Uh-uh. Packers at Vikings.
And as much as I want to go with the Vikings, there's no way you can pick them with their quarterback situation. So,
Bruce, why on earth would you want to go with the freaking Vikings?
Look at that defense, man. The defense will be a top five defense this year.
All right, I thought you were hating on the Packers. I'll give you that one.
Talking about the Vikings, Bruce. You're on hold. Your picks are in. Get your picks in if you want. 339-1140. We'll take a couple each hour. Make sure you're in. Katie, you want to start off?
Yeah, I think, I actually believe that I will definitely go 4-0 this week.
Oh, do you? Matt is the official recorder. He's
all
ready
right
to go. I see his pen
it's
in hand.
It's pretty simple. I'm going to go down the board.
Sure, please.
I've got the 49ers losing on the road to the Panthers.
You thought
there was going to be.
I'm writing in permanent ink.
Yes, absolutely. Sharpie, man. I'm taking the Raiders over the Falcons. I think that home opener, that is the one thing that kind of sets it apart.
Sure.
I'm taking the Steelers.
Are you?
I am.
Steelers at home versus the Bengals.
I was so impressed with them last week. I think they've got what it takes. And then, of course, there's no way that the Packers lose to the Vikings when they're shuffling quarterbacks like they are, their keys in their pocket.
Give me a tiebreaker score.
No.
Yes.
Why? You haven't done yours. We may not need a tiebreaker score.
What? No, you still got to get one.
All right. I think.
Every week, tiebreaker.
I don't.
All right, why don't you think about your tiebreaker?
This is kind of my Nostradamus.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, so.
All right, if it's just you and me, I'll give you a pass.
No, I'm going to say it's going to be 21-6.
21-6, Packers?
Nope.
Vikings?
Nope. Panthers over the 49ers.
No, you have to do a tiebreaker for the Packers and Vikings.
Oh, why?
The final game, because that's the final game. That's when everyone does a tiebreaker.
That's the tiebreaker?
Always the last
oh, my
game.
Gosh, Dave. The yeah. pressure.
Yeah.
You want
me to just do mine? And then, hey, pro tip, we're going to do the same exact thing
I
next
know,
week, too.
I
with
know.
With a tiebreaker for the final
I
game.
I didn't know. Well, I know that now.
You knew it last
okay,
week.
Okay, so I haven't thought about it enough in depth. It's going to be a high-scoring game,
uh-huh,
I think.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to take a last week's score and be crazy with it.
Sure.
35-34, Packers.
You got that, Matt?
Joke's on her. I just wrote Vikings down four times.
God, I don't
34.
Like the pressure.
Well, it's good to know.
I'm so indecisive.
The Vikings are going to give up 35 points this weekend to the Packers.
They are.
All right, here's the problem with my picks.
The Packers' defense is bad enough that they'll give up 34.
I got a serious problem because it's only you and I picking this week.
Jeez.
Because Nate's gone. And I picked the same exact four teams. So now I got to decide which game I'm going to actually take the chance on and flip my pick. It's not going to be the Niners game.
Oh, I know what game it's going to be.
They're losing.
You're taking the Bengals.
It's not going to be the Raiders. I believe they will beat Atlanta. Home opener for Oakland. It's not going to be the Bengals.
I hate you.
Because the Bengals.
Don't you dare talk about my Packers
Bengals
like that.
Won by 1 point over the Jets, and I'm still not convinced the Jets are a great team. They could be. They could be a good team. They were 10-6
yeah,
last year.
They
went
were.
To Buffalo. They won, and I think Cincinnati's a good team. But as Bruce said, without Vontaze Burfict, that's a little interesting on that defense, and they're already going to have their hands full. I just think Pittsburgh's one of the top five, if not top three teams in the NFL, and they're playing in Pittsburgh. So that leads us to the Packers and Vikings. Now, I really do believe the Packers will probably win this game, but I'm not going to cop out and use that as an excuse. I will flip my pick because I think this could go either way. I look at what the Packers did, or more importantly, didn't do down in Jacksonville. Jacksonville had an opportunity to grab that game at the very last minute. Now, granted, Jacksonville has much better offense than the Vikings, but the Vikings do have Adrian Peterson. And look out for Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs last week catching balls from Sean Hill looked damn good. This is one of your quiet giant receivers in the NFL.
I'm
just haven't noticed it yet. So I'm going to go Vikings, and I'm going to say that this is not as high scoring a game as some might think. I'm going to say 21-14.
Okay, so
Vikings.
I'm changing my score.
No.
My final score.
Woman changes her mind. No. Film at 11.
Well, I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit.
Please.
I'm really bad at math. Like, I have to write it out. That's why it's like putting me on the spot to do math is like a really bad thing. I think that it's going to be, there's no way that with the quarterback situation that they're going to be able to score 34 points. I think it's going to be 21-9.
21-9.
Nine.
Three field goals for the Vikings.
Touchdown, uh-huh. a missed extra point,
uh-huh.
and then a field goal.
And then a Blair Walsh field goal. Well, your nose to dumbass is coming up later.
I broke it down.
Wow.
I did the math, Dave.
All right, there's your predictions, 339-1140. Throughout the show, we'll get your pick four in. It's very simple. You pick four, no spread, no nothing, tiebreaker. And then next week, if you pick all four, you win a prize. When we get back, we have four down territory. Welcome back. It's next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
That call comes to us via the New York Jets radio network. The Jets barely lost to the Bengals and just beat Buffalo on the road. They were 10-6 last year. Are they the Pats' main threat in the AFC East this year?
Come on, Matt. That's like maybe the dumbest question you've ever asked.
Yeah,
it's a good thing I wrote it.
let's see. I wrote that question. Yeah, they are. Yes, the Jets aren't, or excuse me, the Bills aren't. Not right now, and I don't see that happening. And I'll tell you what, the Bills have a lot.
It ain't the Dolphins.
No, it's not going to be the Dolphins. And man, Sammy Watkins did not go out there for the end of that game when they needed him the most. When the Bills were trying to drive down in 18 seconds, that's a bad sign. Yeah, they are a big time threat. I think this is a very good, well coached. Todd Bowles has done phenomenal work. This Jets team is a lot better than I think some people think.
I don't think anyone's going to challenge the Pats at all. I think the Patriots, not only did Jimmy Garoppolo really surprise me in week one on the road against Arizona, but now he's at home against lesser opponents for three straight games.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have Tom Brady come back in. I think they're going to run away with that division and not be challenged in the slightest.
Garoppolo is better than Brady, though.
No, he's not.
Rex Ryan chomping at the bit to get on the airwaves, so here he is.
Hey.
Nice, quick, and easy.
Thanks, Rex.
All right.
Appreciate that.
So, Rex, this seemed like a must win for him. Is he in trouble yet?
I think he is in trouble. I think he's in big trouble. And it's not because they're 0-2. I think that's kind of a ridiculous stance to take. It's because of how they lost that game. I mean, you look at the fourth quarter alone, they're down 30-24. They've got third down and 1 yard. And what does he do? He brings in EJ Manuel onto the field. He fumbles. I mean, the decisions that he made were so bad. I think that is why he's on the hot seat right now.
Yeah, he's on the hot seat, and he should be on the hot seat. And at this point, you're wondering if the Ryan brothers, as somebody just said on the text line, are complete and total frauds. When you look at Rex Ryan, he was 8-8 last year with Buffalo, 4-12 the year before with the Jets, 8-8, 6-10, 8-8. What he's living off of is he's living off of two straight AFC Championship games with the Jets back in 09 and 2010 when they lost to the Colts and Steelers, respectively. That's what he's been living on. There's that and the fact that he's football royalty because of his father. And the fact that he's a hell of a soundbite.
Maybe the question here is when this happens, because I think at this point he's not going to be there for very long.
Yeah.
Whether or not they keep him till the end of the season or not, will he be a head coach in this league again?
He's going to have to do some coordinating first, and I don't know if he can deal with that.
We're going to spend a little extra time on this one because it makes me want to snap my keyboard in half in here. The Vegas Raiders just cleared a major hurdle. Are they in Nevada next season?
Yeah, they are. I think they are. And I thought that last year, this isn't something new, and it's not just because of this, but this was the hurdle. $750 million in public funding for the project in Vegas, unanimously voted on by a Nevada oversight committee. Now, they still have a couple things they've got to do. They got to get this through the legislature, and they have to get this through the governor as well. There's still some things.
Three-quarters of the NFL owners, which I don't think is actually going to be any kind of a hurdle at all.
I think that's absolutely a foregone conclusion for them to be able to go to Las Vegas and get a $2-plus billion stadium in Vegas with everything going on there when you're getting a $750 million. Now, just keep in mind, and Vegas is technically a smaller market than Sacramento, okay? Sacramento had to scratch and claw and fight for a $255 million.
But they don't have casino money.
No, they don't.
To be able to tax people and rely on tourism.
And that's for, and keep in mind here, that's for 41 dates a year for the Kings.
Yes.
On top of a ton of other stuff. This is for 8 dates a year, and this, I believe, would
UNLV
be...
UNLV football will share it, correct?
UNLV will share it. They'll have some other stuff, too. I'm talking about 8 Raider dates as opposed to 41 for the Kings. But on top of that, I believe this would be 4 stadiums or arenas built in like a 5-year span in Las Vegas. They just opened the T-Mobile Center, and they have a couple others going right now or that have already opened. This is huge, and I think it's just really a matter of time. Oakland ain't going to do it. They're gone. They're in Vegas next year.
I think it will definitely happen, and the only thing is I can understand the flip side where if you're a voter in Nevada and you're looking at the fact that Nevada's bottom ranking in public school ranking, like the bottom of the barrel, their public schools rank, and so you can think of, okay, well, there's some places that this money could be going. But we all see that football rules everything.
I kind of want to adjust the question, too, because I agree with what you're saying. We're really focusing on next year. Let me amend that for a second. You know, somebody had said, well, they have 3 more years at the Coliseum. They have an out at the Coliseum. But the question is, where would they play, and are they comfortable playing at UNLV or somewhere else?
Exactly.
It may not be next year that they're going. They may end up striking a deal and leaving in 2 years or 3 years. But I think the inevitability is they're going to be in Oakland.
How much in is Vegas?
Excuse me, in Vegas. I apologize. Yeah.
How much is a ticket to Vegas over the weekend?
Ticket to Vegas over the weekend. Let me tell you something. You get there, that NFL schedule gets released, Matt, and you're going to get a lot of Oakland Raider fans are going to do this. They're going to go right on Southwest.
Let's get a group going.
They're
going
to get the big-time advance purchase.
$69.
Something like that, especially out of the Bay Area, too, which is sometimes a lot cheaper than here in Sacramento. You can go back and forth to Vegas round trip for under $200. So here's the deal. If you're buying season tickets to the Raiders in Oakland right now, you're basically taking your season ticket price and you're adding $1,600 for airfare per person. and then a little bit of hotel, this, that, whatever. Now all of a sudden you just add that into your season tickets and you got weekends in Vegas. That's not bad for Raider fan, I guess.
So other than the Raiders or Niners, or in Katie's case, the Packers, what games are you most looking forward to this weekend?
Shut up, Matt, even though that's really meant to Dave, because I know he wrote this stupid question. I would actually say, and I'm a big enough girl to not pick the team that I'm obviously going to be watching.
If I hadn't written that in there, you'd be talking
about
that.
No, I wouldn't, actually, because the one I'm really intrigued with is New Orleans and the Giants, because of the fact of we just saw the Saints and what Drew Brees was able to do, even though the Raiders ended up beating them there at the end of the game, thanks to Jack Del Rio and his play calling. But they were fantastic on offense, and I think that to see the matchup between him and Eli Manning and what the Jets are trying or the Giants are trying to do, it's going to be pretty interesting.
I'm going to give you the one I'm into, and then I'm going to give you the low key one for the week. Now, for me, there's no question. The game I'm most interested in this weekend is Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Do not forget this.
I thought you were for sure going to say
what?
Say Louisville, Florida State.
Oh, that doesn't. Well, no, that goes without saying. We'll talk to Chris Landry about that in a second. Do not forget the way that playoff game ended. The Bengals had this thing in hand, and they absolutely collapsed mentally with the fumble. Giovanni Bernard getting knocked out. Vontaze Burfict, Pac-Man Jones on the field arguing, fighting, screaming. These guys hate each other.
Yes.
Read about the rivalry if you forgot about it, because this goes back to a punter getting his jaw broken. This is going to be blood, sweat, and tears this weekend. Also interested to see Seattle and the LA Rams.
I'm not.
I'll tell you why. I'm interested to see if the Rams are as bad as they looked against the Niners, which I think they are.
And if Seattle is better than as bad
than
as
how they
looked
were against
last
Miami,
week.
I think that's going to be a little interesting barometer for both teams, and it's going to tell you a little bit about the 49ers as well, in addition
You're
to that Carolina game.
There.
We'll take a break. Come back with Chris Landry on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. It's The Drive. Dave, Katie, no Nate, as he's off getting married this weekend. No Nate next week either. Who takes a week off to get married? Does that?
Normal people.
Normal people? I didn't take any time off to get married.
It's because yours wasn't planned.
I didn't have a job either. All right. We have Chris Granger joining us in about an hour to talk about Fan Fest. We got a lot of stuff to get to right now, though. As we do every week, we talk to one of my favorite guys to talk to, period, end of statement, Chris Landry. Chris, it's just Dave and Katie today. How are you?
I am doing well. Hope you guys are doing well. Pass my best along to to Nate on the nuptials, and it's good to be with you guys.
Well, appreciate it, and as somebody who's married, I don't know if good luck's the right word because I've been down there.
hope the wife's not listening.
No, she. Oh, hey, Chris, hey, she didn't start listening until 8:05. Believe me, I know exactly when she listens. We got a lot of NFL to get to, but you're my one outlet, Chris, in this town, and I think we've had this conversation through the years. In this town of Sacramento, you know, and no offense to Sac State or UC Davis, but they're just never relevant nationally. Stanford and Cal occasionally, but this is not a college football town, and I'm a college football boy. So once a week when you come on, I get to delve in a little bit to college football. And guess what? Guess what? It looks like the featured game this weekend just happens to be Louisville versus some team from Florida.
Your boys. Yeah. I really am excited about the game. And, you know, the talk has been about Louisville's the biggest game in their history, of their football program. And listen, it's going to be an outstanding game. And I think, you know, personally, the Noles are a better team overall, top to bottom. The issue I would have, though, and my recommendation to my boy Jimbo is, you know, enough of this come from behind. You don't want to dig yourself a hole here in this game. That's going to run out at some point, although they did it again against Ole Miss. But ought to be an outstanding game. You had a chance to Lamar Jackson, folks. You're going to love watching him. And this team's fired up. Maybe is two of the best play callers offensively in the country in this game, Jimbo and Bob Petrino. So it should be a lot of fun. It'll highlight a weekend of great games: Alabama, Ole Miss, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, USC, Stanford on the farm there. So A&M, Auburn. So a lot of good games.
I got to ask you, I when it comes to this game, and I'm not just trying to duck it here. Derwin James is out.
Yes.
I don't know how good Ole Miss is. You'd know that better than I. Florida State's a slight favorite in this game. I've got them losing by a touchdown plus. They're going to Louisville. They've always had issues in Louisville. And Lamar Jackson is insane. I'm having a trouble finding out why FSU is a favorite.
Well, I think a lot of it is, reputation. That's, where the betting public is. It's still Florida State. It's still Louisville. And I think people maybe don't realize how good Louisville is yet. And you may be right. They'll be realizing how good they are perhaps Saturday. But I do think that if both play their best game, even with the loss of Derwin James, that I think FSU is the better team. Doesn't mean they're going to win.
Right.
And there's no question that they can't play a half like they did against Ole Miss. Yeah. Not going to work this time. I think that Louisville's going to play very loose. They're very aggressive. And I think they're going to attack. But I will say this. Louisville has turned the football over this year. Now, it's been weak opponents, but if Louisville turns the ball over, then they could be in some trouble here. And the guy that's not being talked about enough, a guy that I like a lot, is DeAndre Francois, the quarterback at FSU. So he's the other quarterback in this game, and he may have something to say about how this outcome happens.
Chris, I actually wanted to ask you about the quarterback matchup, because as you mentioned, you've got a really talented redshirt freshman quarterback for Florida State, but on the other side you also have a really exciting quarterback but yet a little bit unpredictable at times. What do you see there?
Well, I think certainly that Louisville requires more of their quarterback. He is their playmaker. Jackson's the best runner that they have. Whereas Florida State's got a great back, I think the offensive line's got to play a little bit better for FSU. So they're not going to ask Francois to win the game. I think that he can make clutch throws, and I think Lamar Jackson is going to have to carry his team. If Florida State doesn't have a great game from Francois, they can still win. If the same thing happens to Louisville and Lamar Jackson has a good game, not a great game, they're probably not going to win. I think that it is more on his shoulders because he's more to do with this team's success. I think that Louisville's defense is underrated. I think they're a good defense. I think FSU's better. So I think it ought to be a good one. The point's well taken. It's gonna be a sky-high atmosphere, Louisville at home. All those things definitely favor the Cards. And again, I think FSU's, to me, slightly better. So I think that makes it a toss-up type of game.
All right, sticking to college football, just a couple games for you real quick. Alabama-Ole Miss, we mentioned Ole Miss earlier. The only test we've seen from them was against Florida State in Orlando, and they sure as heck looked good in the first half. And then how about a big Big Ten matchup, Michigan State-Notre Dame?
Well, I think that Alabama really helped Ole Miss out in last year's game with the turnovers. And listen, if that happens again, Chad Kelly plays like he did in the first half, then game on again. But I just have this feeling that Alabama is going to play better. Now, I'll say this, guys, that they haven't – Alabama hasn't run the football by their standards as good as they like to and need to. But I still think they're the better team here. They'll probably win. Michigan State, Notre Dame's intriguing. Michigan State, so well coached. They lost a lot. Take a look at Malik McDowell, the outstanding defensive tackle for the Spartans. Going to be a high draft pick. Notre Dame, probably a little bit more explosive playmaking ability. But to me, this is a real toss-up type of game. And, it's a type of game Mark D'Antonio sells his team on that nobody respects you. It's just hard sometimes to go against Michigan State in games like this. And I just think Notre Dame is a little bit better, but it wouldn't surprise me either way. It's that close. Both of these teams are good. Neither, in my opinion, are national playoff type good this year, but this is going to probably, at least to the winner, put them still in the conversation.
Chris, I want to ask you a little bit now, switching over to the NFL. It's interesting. We had the play-by-play guy for the Panthers on, Mick Mixon, earlier in the show, and he was, and I don't know if this is just how you do it. I think everyone in the world has the Panthers taking care of the 49ers pretty handily this weekend. However, he had some serious concerns. Where are some areas that you see in that game where the Panthers should have maybe some concern with the 49ers?
Well, when I looked at them in their first game against Denver, their protection breakdowns were evident again. That is potentially a problem, but the Niners don't have Von Miller. They don't have the speed rush off the edge. I also think that defensively was where the biggest concern that I would have is, where did Carolina's defensive front go in week one? I mean, they were blocked very consistently by Denver's front. So my concern is, where's that defensive front? I would expect them to play better, play more like I expect them to play. But, you know, sometimes teams get off to starts and they don't do a very good job. And I think defending San Francisco's run is the challenge. And the pace and tempo, if you can't get off of blocks against Denver and you're facing that tempo against the Niners, yeah, it could be a problem. I think Carolina is certainly the better roster. I kind of expect them, the conventional wisdom among everyone is, hey, look, they didn't get it done in week one. They'll play better this week, and they'll take care of business. And I think that's what's going to happen, but you don't know. And then that's what makes it fun.
Chris Landry joining us on KHDK. And Chris, back me up on this, if you would, being a Southern type of guy. I have all the respect in the world for Mick, and he said this game, in his opinion, was going to be anyone's to grab in the fourth quarter. But I go back to the days of Lou Holtz at Notre Dame, and I was telling Katie, there's a thing that you call Lou Holtzing, and I find this very prevalent in the South with coaches, where Lou Holtz, you'll remember, Notre Dame would play Southeastern, Kentucky, Tennessee State. And
right.
And he'd get asked, you know, hey, are you going to pull the starters in the fourth? And he'd always say, I don't know what you're talking about. This ain't anybody's game. You know, they have a and he'd find a way to try to convince people this would be a game. I felt like Mick was doing a little bit of that there with Carolina.
Well, yeah, listen, it could be. But I can tell you, I didn't see any way that the Chargers would have much of a chance against Kansas City in week one. And they had it. I mean, it really – So, no, look, Carolina, if they play their game, they're going to win, and they'll win decisively. I think that San Francisco's got some confidence after playing the Rams, but it was the Rams. The Rams have no pulse on offense, and they're going to face a different team. I expect Carolina to come out angry, and if you asked me of all the games this week, which one am I most convinced is going to happen, it'd be the Panthers beating the Niners. So, yeah, But I can tell you that means absolutely nothing because, you know, if Carolina doesn't play any better than they did last week against the Broncos, it could be a closer game. It could absolutely be. But, no, I expect Carolina to win, just like I would expect Arizona. Anybody think that Arizona is going to go 0-2 at home?
No.
You know, but I'm going to tell you, if they don't tighten things up defensively, Jameis Winston gets hot. It could happen. It's the NFL. It's really not. It's not college football, and strange things happen, just like the Georgia Nickel State game last week. It just, you never know what could happen. But I agree with you. I want to see more out of this Niners team, other than just beating a Rams offense that's awful right now.
From every indication right now, Chris, from what we're hearing out of Minnesota, obviously the Vikings get a win in week one, and Sean Hill was their quarterback. But now there's reports saying that, you know, Sam Bradford could be starting at quarterback in week two. Do you see that happening, and why or why should it not happen?
Well, I see it happening, and I think it has to happen. The Vikings offense went nowhere last week. Their defense saved them. They were in a match, talking about a game that you would have thought that would have been a blowout week one. It would have been the Vikings-Titans, but the Vikings quarterback situation kind of made that a game. And until the defense came around and start scoring points on their own, that game was in peril. They just couldn't move the football on offense. And it's not all Sean Hill's fault, but I knew after that game that they were going to do everything in their power to get Sam Bradford as ready to go as possible, to give their offense a chance, give their passing game a chance. People are going to crowd the box and try to stop Adrian Peterson in the run game. They've got to be able to do a little bit more in the passing game. And quite frankly, if they don't play better in the passing game at home, you know, Green Bay is going to beat them. So they're going to need good quarterback play, better quarterback play this week to beat the Pack.
You know, we have the Ask the Scout thing going on right now. I want to remind everybody about, go to khk.com, click on Ask the Scout. and submit your questions to Chris Landry, and he'll answer them on air as well as on KHDK.com. And also want to remind you, for you guys listening, Chris is offering a 50% discount on a one calendar year subscription. That's $49 instead of the normal $99, and $25 of that $49 in the subscription costs going towards assisting recent flood victims in the Baton Rouge area. Remind me real quick, what is the promo code, Chris?
The code is seasonal, S-E-A-S-O-N-A-L.
Okay, and we've got our Ask the Scout question for the week for you from Evan. Evan wants to ask you, Chris, what did you think of Blaine Gabbert's performance on Monday?
I thought he did a really nice job. You know, he's an underrated athlete, and he moved the team with a lot of pace. I thought the tempo was good in the offense. Missed some throws, but hit some good ones too. I thought it was a really solid performance. You know, everyone talks about mobility and the tempo with Chip Kelly's offense, but decision-making is critical because everything's at the line of scrimmage, and there's an answer for every coverage, but you've got to make it quickly, and you really don't the pre-snap read comes lightning fast, and you've got to make just lightning-quick post-snap decisions. I thought he did a good job, and listen, this is for all the problems that the Rams have. Their defense has got some talent. Of course, they were on the field way too much, but I'm very curious to see what they can do going forward. I still think this Niners team is quite a ways away personnel-wise, but, you know, hey, good start going to 1-0.
Just a couple minutes left with Chris Landry. Segment always flies by, and we still have a couple games to get to. Let's get to the Raiders. You mentioned Jameis Winston yes. earlier, and he went all ballistic on the Atlanta Falcons. Do you see Derek Carr having some of that same success?
Yeah, I think that they really can. The Falcons are going to see a lot of blitz this week. I can tell you that the Falcons and not get any pressure, and for them to have a chance, they're going to have to really ratchet up the blitz pressure. You know, I was impressed by the Raiders. You know, when you go to New Orleans and you win a shootout game in the dome against Drew Brees, that's saying a lot. Now, you know, people may say, boy, that defense wasn't very good. I thought Drew Brees was really hot, and they had really good play from Cooks and Snead, and particularly at the receiving core.
Yeah.
I think that the Raiders, you know, I expect them to play a little bit better defensively in this game. I thought that was a big time win, a clutch win for him that you just get out and get out of Dodge and move on. But I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing with this Raiders team, and thought they ran the football when they needed to, and I look for them to do that this week.
Final thing for you, KHDK's got your coverage all weekend long about the NFL and college football at 4:30 Pacific tomorrow. Number 3 Ohio State, number 14 Oklahoma. This is basically Ohio State's first game of the year. They had two preseason games. They go into Norman. Could number 3 fall this weekend?
Could. Oklahoma's certainly going to be fired up. Talk about backs against the wall. They can't afford to lose the game after losing to Houston the first week. I think Ohio State is the more talented team. JT Barrett's playing well, a little bit better. I give them an edge over Baker Mayfield slightly. If Oklahoma could run the football with Samaje Perine and Joe Mixon, they've got a shot at home. I do believe that. But the Buckeyes are young. Their defense is playing really well, but it's a good offensive line. And I think overall, through four quarters, the Buckeyes win it. But to me, this is going to be a really close game, and I think the feature matchup of the weekend.
You know, Chris, we're on schedule. We got 30 seconds. Here's another Ask the Scout question I'll sneak in. From Folsom, California, Jake Browning is now the quarterback and has been
yes.
for the University of Washington. He's only 41 of 55 this year for about 600 yards and 8 touchdowns. Does this guy have a legit shot at the NFL?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, he's young. It's a couple of years away, but a big-time player. Chris Peterson, that offense, doing a great job. And I think UW and Stanford are really going to battle it out for the north of the Pac-12, and I can't wait till they get in to Pac-12 play. Yes, they've had a soft schedule, but they've done what you're supposed to do to that soft schedule. They have thrown the football well. They've run it with good balance, good running game as well. Defense is starting to get better. Love their secondary. It's one of the better secondaries in the country. I'm really excited about what UW is doing, and the quarterback, Jake Browning, is a big part of it.
We did it just a little bit ago, but just real quick for our listeners, throw out that promo code again where people can hook up with you.
Seasonal, 50% off, $49.99 for the entire calendar year. Use the code SEASONAL. If you have any problems, pop us an email. We'll take care of you.
Always a pleasure, Chris. We're going to have a ton ton to talk about next week.
Man. But, yeah, it's going to be great. Hey, thanks a bunch. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you,
Chris.
Bye-bye.
That is Chris Landry joining us. We'll get out of here, take a quick break. On our return, 8 o'clock is all about you, your phone calls, as we break down the Niners and Panthers, Raiders and Falcons. Some questions thrown out there. Seriously, Niner fans, do you legit? Is there? Can you help me as a fellow Niner fan see a legitimate way for the Niners to win this weekend? And what is a victory for you other than, you know, a victory? Raider fan, if the Raiders were to somehow lose this home opener to the Falcons, does that completely deflate you? How do you see the game going this weekend? What are the Raiders' strengths? How is Derek Carr going to do? Is Khalil Mack going to get loose? I want Raider Nation to sound off at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Chris Granger at 830 as well. Busy last hour for you on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.